The Old Testament reading for today is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning at verse 2 and continuing to verse 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord.
Today's second reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, reading from chapter 8, verses 12 to 18. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are true, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your law, it is written that the testimony of two witnesses is true. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, I still feel amazed and embarrassed when I remember 67 years ago, as a 15-year-old with my friend and his VJ, he took me sailing for the first time, the mouth of the Lane Cove River. There was a nice breeze on the harbour, and suddenly we were racing, but at least 30 degrees off perpendicular, and I was beginning to panic. And he was shouting to let my rope go loose. But I just knew doing that would simply catch more wind and capsize us. So I pulled the rope tighter, despite his shouting, and we instantly capsized. The worst thing, as I came up out of the water, was to see the ferry coming in, and we were right in the middle of the ferry's path, and he had to make a horn and go around us. And I hope to goodness my father was not coming home on that ferry. I had been so certain that I was right. The reality was, I could not have been more wrong. My first 5 minutes on a boat. So sure. So wrong. In my teens, with scouting and bushwalking and hiking and so on and so forth, I had impressed myself, if no one else, with how I always knew where north and south and east and west were. Didn't matter how thick the bit of bush we were going through was. It just came naturally. And I was quite proud of this skill. Well, 20 years later, in my first week ever in an English village, somewhere between Birmingham and Lichfield. And I drove off to Lichfield. This was easy. There was only one road, and it was south to Birmingham and north to Lichfield. And I turned north, and soon I found myself on the outskirts of Birmingham. I'd gone in exactly the opposite direction. I genuinely was shaken. I never get directions wrong. How had this happened? Jet lag, perhaps? A week later, the penny dropped. In Australia, the sun is to the north. So, wanting to go north in England, I automatically, unconsciously turned towards the sun. But in England, the sun is to the south. Once more, I had been so sure that I was right, but in fact, was totally wrong. A humbling experience. Being absolutely certain is no guarantee of being right. Well, I also feel pretty certain today about a lot of other things that are far more important, like the standards that I live by, my morality, not my mortality, as it says in the notes. There's no doubt about that. My morality and my faith. I'm comfortable with my level of honesty, how I keep my marriage vows, how I spend money, the things that I'm aiming at in life. But after my experience in sailing and navigating, perhaps I could be too easily satisfied with myself and so actually be wrong about my morality, my aims, my beliefs. Being certain, of course, is common. It's nice and it's comfortable, but it's no guarantee of being right. That is not a nice thought. Am I making big mistakes through my self-confidence? Are you? Do you ever reconsider? Well, Jesus, we heard in the Gospel, said, "I am the light of the world." Notice that he said the light, not a light. He wasn't suggesting that his ideas should be considered along with those of other gurus. He was far more bold, far more dogmatic. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." Now, his detractors, the Pharisees, immediately sneered at him. "You're appearing as your own witness." In other words, you're blowing your own trumpet, you're singing your own praise, you are boasting hopelessly. However, if they had been paying closer attention, they may have remembered the prophecy of Isaiah in their scriptures, written 800 years before, when Isaiah spoke an important prophecy of a great act that God would do in the future. And we heard it read as our first lesson. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned. They rejoice, for a child is born. He will reign on David's throne, for that time on forever." Now, this great light will, of course, be the Messiah. And when Jesus says, "I am the light of the world," he is hinting very strongly that he is that light that Isaiah was talking about. And so that he is the Messiah, the descendant of King David, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. "I am the light of the world." If his detractors had got this hint, they wouldn't have sort of wasted time going on about boasting about yourself being pointless and how you need at least two witnesses just to be taken seriously. If they'd got his drift, they would have, as they did later when they did get his drift, when he said, "I and the Father are one," they would then have taken up rocks with which to stone him for blasphemy because he was claiming to be the Messiah. Especially so when even later he said, "No one goes to the Father but by me." Isaiah also made another similar prophecy when he spoke for God and said, "I will give you as a light to the nations so that my salvation may reach the ends of the earth." Jesus is tugging away on a big Isaiah theme when he claims, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness." So what does it mean to be the light of the world, the one and only way to the Father? It means now we can see in the dark. Last Monday afternoon, I was given 6 photos taken an hour earlier in my distal duodenum, wherever and whatever that is. But what's certain is that everything in there is normally pitch black. But a light on the end of a long cord had been shone way down past my throat and the photos had been taken. Light reveals the truth. No more any need to guess. No need to have a stab in the dark so as to make mistakes. It is so good that the doctor has seen where the light has shone and doesn't have to guess in the dark with only my reported symptoms to go on. Now, when I go back and see him soon, he will tell me what's happening in there and what, if anything, needs to be done. And I'll believe him because he has seen the light. Where the light has shone, he's seen the truth. Now, since Jesus is the light of the world, he sees and shows the truth. He's the one from whom no secret is hid. So he sees the whole truth, and then he also can tell what needs to be done. Not just down in my insides, but far more importantly, in my character, in my beliefs, in my attitudes, in my behaviour, in my heart, in me. He sees in me better than I do. He knows far better than I do what passes and what fails. He knows far better than me what needs to be done. And he knows far better than me how it can be done. He knows I don't. He is the light of the world. Now, on July the 1st, every year in the Torres Strait Islands, there occurs their really big annual festival involving the whole community. It is the coming of the light. It celebrates the day in 1871, just 153 years ago, when a British missionary landed and began teaching the Bible, and especially the top focus of the Bible, Jesus, who said, "I am the light of the world." So they celebrate the coming of the light of the world. But the point is, if the light really comes, he makes a difference. Celebrating is important, but has he actually made a difference? A huge difference. At the very southern tip of South America, there's an island, Terra del Fuego. And Charles Darwin landed there on his first trip out of the Atlantic into the Pacific. And he was appalled at the way the locals lived. Brutal, thoroughly deplorable. Some missionaries landed there about the same time. Darwin called again several years later on another trip and reported the change in the locals was almost beyond belief. In that time, they had been told about the light of the world, and they had, amazingly, responded. Darwin was so impressed, he began an annual donation to that missionary society for the rest of his life. When people really see Jesus, the light of the world, the change is dramatic, widespread, and truly beautiful. So, is he really my light? Now, I say he is when I stand up and recite the creeds, like the one we had at 8 o'clock this morning. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, God of God, light of light. But the proof of the pudding is not in reciting, important though that is, but in the doing. What I believe will be demonstrated in my living, in what I do. And what is the light that shines out of Jesus? We say he's the light, but what is it that this light shines on? It is the light of the world who said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So when I'm thinking of sharing some good gossip, or when I'm driving and I want to change lanes in very heavy traffic and there's no opportunity, or when Anglicare's Christmas appeal arrives and I'm spending rather freely on the family Christmas, how I react might indicate, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Am I following the light? Is Jesus really my light, or am I just saying that? The light of the world also said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Now, I don't think there is anything in following Jesus that's harder than this. Now, I've been pretty lucky to get this far in life so far anyhow without attracting any enemies that I can recall, not even any vigorous opponents, I mean, apart from when playing rugby league for 80 minutes. But many, even generous, decent, easy to get on with believers that I've known have run into terrible strife. I think of two friends who have been dreadfully cheated, almost penniless, by dreadful business partners. I think of a warden some years ago that I had who was about to retire after 50 years working for the same engineering company in Victoria and discovered that his employer had used all the firm's superannuation to keep the company afloat and there was nothing left for him. Families where the harmony is shattered when a will is announced, or some unwelcome marriage causes all sorts of strife in the family relationships. And even neighbours at loggerheads over a tree or a hedge. Well, I've been fortunate. Maybe you haven't been so fortunate. But to both of us, Jesus says, the light of the world says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In the Bible, of course, love is something that you do a bit more than something that you feel. So it is possible to love your enemies despite the feelings that you might have for them. It's an action. It's a doing. It is possible, but it is hard. But if he's the light of the world and he's my light, then love my enemies and pray for those who pick on me. That's my calling. And it was the light of the world who said, store not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. No, of course we can't buy a ticket into heaven. It's a gift by grace. But the way that we allocate our wealth does show pretty clearly our priorities, and particularly where God's kingdom and the plight of the needy and desperate happen to fit in. Is it a bad thing to be wealthy? Of course not. Money is neutral, but the love of money is the root of all evil, St. Paul quotes. Australians are very wealthy by the average standards of the world, but Jesus said you cannot love God and money. Doesn't work. And when Jesus is my light, then no matter if I am wealthy or struggling or where I am in between, I am off on a lifelong pilgrimage of learning to control my money rather than letting it control me. And to our dying day, that's still a campaign that we're all called to walk with. The light of the world said, store not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up treasure in heaven. And it was the light of the world who summed it all up when he demanded of his listeners that one by one they follow me. Now, my upbringing has taught me to think of myself as a crane, a man, an Australian, a husband, a father, a grandfather, someone with middle-class ideas and values, a minister. And those are all very well and good. But the main idea that I am to have of myself, the centre of my self-image, my main driving force, is being a follower of the light of the world. Is that your conscious, deliberate self-image? Do you see your aim and yourself, number one, as a follower of Jesus? Because Jesus is the light, the one and only light, he has to also be the Lord, my Lord. What my endoscopist doctor sees in the light in my insides must be what controls all he subsequently says and does with me. There's no question. And what I see and hear from the light of the world through the words of the Bible and the convictions in my prayers must be the guide of my life, just as much as what the doctor saw is the guide of his treatment. Jesus is the light of the world and therefore is the Lord, my Lord. This has to be a deliberate decision at some stage for each of us. The decision that I will follow Jesus, the light of the world, and so get on that journey to become what I was always meant to be. If you have never consciously made that decision, let me urge you to do it today. Go over in ink, as it were, what perhaps is already there in pencil, so that you know I have made that decision to follow Jesus. He is my leader, my Lord. I am following the light of the world. Being certain of something, of course, is no guarantee of being right. So make that decision. I am a follower of Jesus, the light of the world. What he says is right, whether I feel like that or not, for he is now my light. Is that you?